Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua and chapter 3 still. Joshua chapter 3. On Wednesday nights, we're going through and preaching and teaching on the life of Joshua, the servant of the Lord. And we looked at the man Joshua, and there's so much about the man Joshua found in the scriptures. And then we started reading and studying here in the book of Joshua. And I trust it has been a help to you to learn some of these biblical principles by the stories that God has preserved for us in Scripture. And Israel failed to go into the Promised Land under Moses' leadership, and God sent them back out into the wilderness for 40 years. And then as they come back, and then God appoints Joshua to be the one to lead Israel into the Promised Land. And so Joshua, now as he's leading Israel, they're right there at the banks of the Jordan, and they're getting ready to cross the Jordan, and they have to cross it by faith because there's no way that they would be able to cross the Jordan River outside of a miracle from God. They're all there looking at the rushing waters that are overflowing its banks. And God tells them exactly what to do, and as they would act by faith, and we've studied this last week where God told them what he would do. He revealed to them the revelations and what he would do as they would do their part, and they had to act by faith and step into the water there. As soon as the feet of the priests would be resting in the water, then God would perform the miracle. And they didn't know what it would be. They didn't know how it would come about. They just had to trust in God and have faith that God would do his part. And as they would step into the water there, and the waters then would miraculously, and God told them he would do this. He told them that he would stop the waters, and exactly how he would stop the waters, and that they would go over on dry ground. And so that's where we're at right now. And last week, the need to know of God's revelations and promises. God told them what he would do, and that's what gave them the faith to do their part. If we're going to do what God would have us to do in our lives, then we have to understand the revelations of God and the promises of God ahead of time so that we will have faith that we need to have to do our part, and then knowing that God is going to do his part. We know this world is going to come to an end, and we know that what's going to happen. Don't have to live this life with fear, because we understand what's going to happen. And as we, you know, come to the end of our lives on this planet Earth, and it's just the beginning of a new life. It's a beginning of a new heaven, a new earth is on the horizon. And so all the different things, the revelations and the promises of God need to be known by Christianity so that we can continue to do what God would have us to do. If you don't have faith in the revelations of God, if you don't have faith in the promises of God, you're not going to live for God. You just won't do it. But if it's real to you, if it's real as it truly is, whether you know it to be real or not, it is real. But if it's real to you, then you'll be more apt to live as God would have you to live. And that's where we're at. So that's what happened last week. And we're going to go back in chapter 3 again, and we're going to complete it tonight. But verses 14 now, down to verse 17. And go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. Verse 14, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water." Nothing's happened as of yet. "And Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest." That's what they're stepping into. "That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plains," all the different waters that led into the Jordan here, Even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you, and again, we thank you for the privilege we have to assemble on this Wednesday night, and for all that are here that had the opportunity and took advantage of their opportunity to be in church this evening. I just pray, God, that you would meet with us and speak to each one of us, collectively and individually, that we might hear exactly what we have need to hear tonight. Pray that you would bear witness with us tonight, and that you would empower the preaching of thy word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tonight I want to draw your attention to verse 16, when the Bible says, when all this took place, God dried up the waters. He stopped all of the waters coming into the Jordan, and God stopped it so that at the right time and at the right place, the ground would be dried to where the people could go over the Jordan River. And the Bible says, and the people passed over, I got this underlined, right against Jericho. The purpose and the message I want to preach to you tonight, and I think what we need to draw from this, the purpose in God's time and place for his miracles, for him to work in our lives, for him to confirm to us who he is. The time and the place. Jericho would be their next battle. They got up to the Jordan River. They had been fighting battles all along. And now they got up to the Jordan River. The water would be the battle. They would have to fight and battle the water to get across the water to be where God wanted them to be. Once they would get over the Jordan and that battle was finished, their next battle would be with Jericho. The fortress of Jericho had to combat the huge protective walls that no one up to this point had been able to breach. Their next battle was going to be a tough battle. And God's time for his miracle and God's place for his miracle would be in preparing them for their next battle. If you're living in God's will, very important that we understand that we're living in God's will. Because if you're living in God's will, you're prepared for what's next. Even though you might not know what's next. We know not what a day may bring. We don't know what our next battle might be. We know that we will have another battle. As long as we're living in this flesh, as long as we're living in this land, in this church age, it's going to be, we're going to fight battles. Christian life is not an easy life. It's not a pat life. It's a life filled with battles, but also filled with victories. Amen. But we're going to continue to deal with things. We're not just flowing downstream. As a Christian living today in society, in the day and age we're living in, we're battling upstream. We don't know what kind of log might be coming down upon us. But we will battle. We will fight battles. Knowing that you're in God's will is what you need to know that you're prepared for your next battle. If you're not in God's will, can I tell you, you're not prepared for your next battle. Because if you're not in God's will, you've already lost a battle. And you're going in a wrong direction. And you're going to continue to lose battle after battle after battle until you find yourself either dead, hooked on drugs, miserable. Because the most miserable person in this world is a Christian outside of God's will, thinking that he knows best for his life. Blinded. But if you're in God's will, we have the revelations and the promises of God that tell us that I am prepared for what's next. My next battle. God's revelation and promises include Romans 8:28. That's a promise for those who love God, called according to his will. That's, you're in God's will, that all things work together for good. Whatever you're facing, whatever you have to come up against, you know the revelations God's given to you. If you're in my will, I'm working everything in your life, and whatever you're going to face, it's going to be for your good, for my glory. And then another very familiar passage of Scripture that is revelation from God and promises from God for us, and that's 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, "There hath no temptation or trial, if you will, taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation or the trial also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. That means that you're ready for it. Whether you think or know that you're ready for it or not, you will be ready for it. Because God's going to make sure that there's not going to be something that overwhelms you, that you're not prepared for, that you can't handle. If you're in the will of God, whatever battle you have to face next, God's prepared you for it. Yeah. Wow. They would have to face Jericho. They weren't ready for Jericho on the other side of Jordan. But once they got through the Jordan, they were ready for Jericho. Amen. That's good stuff. Really, I love that. Verse 16. And that's why we find in the Word of God, it tells us, "And the people passed over right against Jericho." God had a purpose for his timing and the place for his miracle. Israel crossing over Jordan on dry ground right in front of Jericho. Would have pumped them up, if you will, for this victory over Jericho. They had heard of all the horror stories. They had heard of all the battles that took place in Jericho. And no army up until this time was able to penetrate the walls of Jericho. Couldn't handle that. What are we going to do when we get to Jericho? How in the world are we going to be able to fight that? How are we going to be able to breach the walls? How in the world could we ever get victory in Jericho? That was their mentality on the other side of Jordan. And God says, no, you're not ready for Jericho yet. So it's my timing and the place that I'm going to dry up for you will prepare you for your next battle. So focus on what I'm doing for you in Jordan. And when you get all that I have for you to receive as you're facing the Jordan, you're in my will. And if you're in my will, you'll be ready for Jericho. Look back over my life, and there's been a whole lot of battles. I've never had any battle that I could not find victory in as long as I knew I was in the will of God. Yeah. The idea that God dried up the Jordan right against Jericho was needed for Israel to have the confidence in their next battle. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a confirmation. As they was walking through Jordan on dry ground, they viewed the walls of Jericho. And they look around and say, if we can do this, we can do that. If God can get us through on dry ground, there is no doubt in my mind God can knock down the walls of Jericho. There was two great crossing experiences for Israel. There's a lot of similarities, but there's totally two reasons for both of them. The two great crossing experiences for God's people was, first of all, the Red Sea. And the second great crossing for God's people would be the Jordan River. The Red Sea crossing was their exodus. Symbolic, if you will, of their deliverance from bondage. Their salvation experience. In the Red Sea crossing, they were leaving their past life in preparation for living a new life. Even though they were in bondage, that's all they knew. And to leave Egypt would have been a scary situation. To go into the wilderness and leave everything that they had in there in Egypt, and they would refer back to it many a times as they would go in through the wilderness, and they'd look back and say, why aren't we back in Egypt with all the food that we had and everything else? And Satan would blind them to all the that they were in bondage. So it would have been somewhat of a scary time to have a new life if it had not been for the crossing of the Red Sea. And God preparing them for the new life in the crossing of the Red Sea. The evidence of God and what He can do gave them the confidence to enter, to exit bondage. leaving their past life in preparation for living their new life. When you get saved, there can be a little fear. If you don't fully understand it, you think, I can never live like Christian people live. I can't be that good. I've had people come into the church, and I've had a few of them tell me, said, preacher, when I first came out, I thought, well, we don't belong here. All these people here are just good people, and we're just, everyone's saints in this church. I think, if you only knew what I know. I don't think there's one of us to say, no, I want you to be like me. No, sorry about that. If you knew me like I knew me, you wouldn't want to be like me. I want to present Christ to you. And you follow me only as I follow Christ, but he is the one we look to. We're all sinners. Some of us worse than others. But we're all sinners. There's a little bit of a fear for somebody to just get saved and comes into the church. It's a new life. Never heard those songs before. Never seen people dressed like that before. Never seen people go forward and pray at an altar. I can never do that. I'd be too embarrassed to go forward. And there's people that actually get up and sing in the choir. I'm just saying, people coming in, a new life just got saved. They're looking around thinking, I don't know I can fit in here. Amen? It can be a little fearful because it's a different life. The Red Sea prepared them for an exodus from the old life, with a desire to go to a promised land and a new life. So there was this parting of the Red Sea, symbolic of deliverance from their sins and a salvation. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe this is what Paul is writing, and that's exactly what he's telling us concerning our new life. In Ephesians in chapter 4, in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man. If you're not doing this, you're not following Christ. But if you do this, then that's part of the Christian life. That's part of exiting. That's part of a deliverance. That you put off concerning the former conversations, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on. It's a different life, and so you got to put off, but then you got to put on. And that's kind of scary because I don't know that I can put on. I don't know that I can live this life. I don't know that I can be all that I need to be. And sometimes people, because they don't have the right training, they don't have the right discipleship, they don't have the right influences in their life, they never make it to the promised land. They stay in the wilderness, in between, the most miserable place. Was in between, wandering. They're not in Egypt and they're not in the promised land. They're just wandering. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wow, that's where I need to be. Leaving the past life in preparation for living the new life. Yeah. two great crossings, Red Sea. But before they would cross the Jordan, it would come after 40 years of wilderness wanderings. Saved, but not living the victorious Christian life. You know, people that are there, you really believe they're saved. They had a salvation testimony, but they're not in church. They're not living in the will of God. They're just wandering. Yeah, they've experienced salvation because they've exited. They've gotten out of Egypt. They've gotten out of bondage. They got saved. Being saved does not guarantee you victory in this life. Being saved does not guarantee you the peace that passeth all understanding. Being saved does not guarantee you joy. Being saved does not guarantee you all the blessings that God has for you. Matter of fact, if you stay in the wilderness, you're miserable. We need to experience the second crossing. We need to experience a second movement of God, if you will, for God's children to look to. Crossing of the Jordan. Symbolic of an entrance. Not into heaven, but into the will of God. Just because you're saved does not mean you're in the will of God. It gives you opportunity to be in the will of God. If you're lost, you can never be in the will of God. If you're saved, you have an opportunity to be in the will of God. Whether you are in the will of God or not is determined by your choices. And God says if you're going to be in the will of God, you got to put off the old man and put on the new man. You got to change your life. Not that doesn't give you salvation, but that brings you into the will of God. The Jordan, symbolic of their entrance into the promised land. A dedication or surrender to God's will. I was saved when I was 8 years old. I didn't dedicate my life to Christ until 21 or so. I floundered. I just lived in the wilderness until I come to the place where I wanted the blessings of God. I wanted to know God. I wanted to fellowship with God. I wanted to be in the will of God. And I surrendered my will to whatever His will was for my life. Never have regretted that. That's opened up so many blessings in my life. If I died tonight, I have experienced so many blessings of God in my life. And I'm so thankful. A new beginning for the rest of their lives was Jordan. The Jordan experience would represent not salvation, that was the Red Sea. It would represent a dedication to a new life. A new beginning. Understanding God's call upon my life. And can I tell you, understanding God's call upon your life will also lead to being a part of the church that God will plant you in. Being in the right church is so, so vitally important to God's will for your life. As I look out, even here tonight, I can see people that have been in this church since the beginning, 36 years. It's part of God's will for June, your life for 36 years, being a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. That's why you come Sunday morning. That's why you come Sunday night. That's why you come Wednesday night. It's God's will. In this New Testament church age, the church is part of God's will for your life. Once you understand God's call upon your life. Now, if God's called you to pastor, then that's the church that you need to be a member of, the church that you're pastoring. If God's called you to whatever else, missions, and whatever church that is over in on the mission field. But if you're here in the United States and God's called you to a secular ministry or a secular occupation, and praise the Lord, that's most of the people, then it is to be in the church and serving in the church to be able to be the witness and be able to carry on the work that God has us here to carry on. And so I look out 25 years and 30 years. It's our life. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Jesus Christ saved you to make you a part of His church. His church is His body. And if I'm in the body, then God has given me talents and He's given me spiritual gifts that I am to use in serving Him in my church. Sometimes we lose sight of that. That is God's will for your life, understanding what He's called you to do, and then finding the church that you're to do it in. Making sure that it's Christ's church. I'm a part of His body. In His will. It would be just what Israel would need to be victorious in their next battle. Amen. It's exactly what you need to be victorious in your next battle. God's call and God's planting of your life. If you're there, you're ready for the next battle. Because we have the promises of God that tell us that. Not only would it help prepare Israel, the second part of why God did that in the time and the place is that it would help defeat their opposition. It would help defeat their adversary. And in this case, it's the inhabitants of Jericho. The inhabitants of Jericho would be their next battle. And God had them cross on dry ground right in front of Jericho. And all the people of Jericho was standing around on that great wall, and they were looking down, and with their own eyes, they saw the waters abate. And then they saw the mud turn into dry ground. What did they see? They seen the hand of God. They might not have even wanted to admit that it was the hand of God, as we have today. They might want to say, even though they've seen it with their own eyes, well, it was just an act of nature. Must have been a hole opened up somewhere and just swallowed all the water. Well, what's your account on how the mud turned into hard ground for them to walk over? Overnight. It's while the priests were standing in the water, the waters were abated, and right then the people started moving across and they went on dry ground. That is not an open hole opening up to take all the water in. That's a hand of God at work. But if they can convince the people it's an act of nature, the people would rather believe in an act of nature than in the Creator God. today, it's so obvious. You look at God's handiwork. Look at nature. Look around you. Look at the human existence. Look at how God designed the body of a man and the body of a woman. And they don't want to acknowledge that. They would rather believe in an act of evolution that took billions of years, so far beyond the human comprehension. I can't even think of about 100 years, let alone a billion years, to convince you that that's what it took. They would rather believe in that than to believe in the reality of God. Because if they truly believed in the reality of God, they would have to change how they think and how they live. And they don't want to do that. They would much rather believe in either billions of year evolution or what's becoming very popular today, and it's going to become even more popular, the existence of UFOs, terrestrial beings. I guarantee you, back in the 60s, Star Trek was the beginning to train the mind of humanity that there's no God, there's outer spacemen. And if it didn't happen because of billions of years, there's some kind of a force in outer space that maybe dropped off a couple people here to see how they would live their life on Earth. And people would rather believe that than to believe in God. Which shows you that we have a very powerful enemy. That's the devil himself. So God's plan was to use this not only to strengthen Israel for what's next, but it was also to be used to defeat the adversary. Because not only did the people of Jericho see the waters dry up, but they saw something else that we so desperately need today. They saw the unity of the people coming across on dry ground. In closing tonight, in Psalm, let me just read to you. Psalms chapter 133. Psalms 133, the psalmist says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard of even Aaron's beard and went down to the skirts of his garments. And as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing." God wants unity in his church, even life forevermore. God's will is for us to be in the church that he wants us to be in, planted in. And once we find ourselves planted by God in that church, doing everything we can do collectively and individually to serve in unity, to support, and to do what God would have us to do. How important it is for the adversaries who don't believe in God and don't believe in the church that we're facing every day, how important it is for them to see the church working to keep the testimony of Christ. Yeah. How important. Yeah. God has a purpose for what he does in the time and the place of when he does it. If I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. What a tremendous blessing to understand that. Two crossings, the miracle crossings, how we can identify with both of them. An exodus and an entrance. Praise God for an exodus when you get saved, but there's even greater blessings in this life connected to the entrance and to the promised will of God. Father, we bow before you tonight, and we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word and how we can just study it and learn from it and apply it to our lives. I trust that this message this evening would be applicable to all of us. I pray, God, if we need to make decisions, maybe it's time for us to get out of the wilderness and surrender, to commit ourselves to the Christian faith and walk. Take off the old man, put on the new man, committed to our faith. Bless now the invitation tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.